This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So just a timeline of events from today. So 7 hours ago, Rock Kabatko tweeted that Andrew Kitcher said, so he spoke to the media 7 hours ago.
Skipper was not at the ballpark.
I'm getting there.
He's doing the timeline.
Yeah,
Sorry.
It's coming.
My bad.
Yeah. Kittredge said his left knee is feeling better, but he doesn't know when he'll throw again due to the inflammation. Mm. 5 hours later, Brandon Hyde arrived at the ballpark. The game was already in progress. After the game, Brandon Hyde spoke to the media and said Kittredge had an MRI on the left knee. Orioles are getting multiple opinions.
Yeah, see, here's where when you build your team based on best case scenarios instead of worst case scenarios, these unfortunately are the kind of jams you find yourself in. I brought up Kenley Jansen's name on this show a bunch of times.
Yeah.
He's built like a horse. He's been a dependable horse. He has a role and he knows that role. Now, you could tell me he only wants to be a closer. Well, guess what? They've come out publicly and said our closer's not going to pitch consecutive days. They need two closers. They knew they needed two closers all offseason. They waited till the end. They got cheap. They got Kittredge, who's not a closer and has had plenty of setbacks in his career. And then Jansen ends up signing for basically the same money a couple weeks later. So, look, when we originally set this segment up, it was because I wanted to push your buttons about my guys, Dominguez and Soto, and see how you felt about them. Because they're getting rocked. It's early. Doesn't matter. Wind-blown home runs, this and that. They're getting rocked. They don't look good to me. What I've seen of them don't look pretty. And they were fifth and sixth inning guys for the Phillies for a reason. But that was the original backdrop. But now... to have that going on and to know how constricted Felix's role is going to be, although it's obviously awesome to have him back, and then the insurance policy ain't going to be... I'm going on a limb. Kittredge's not going to be in the opening day roster. And now we're not sure Gunnar Henderson is either.
We'll get to that in a few minutes.
What? Even prior to this Kittredge news, I always anticipated that Dominguez was going to be that number two closer. Picking up the $8 million option to begin the offseason, not saying that that's the right move. I would have loved to see them get legit closer insurance, but this doesn't really change my opinion of how they were going to operate the ninth inning when Felix is unavailable.
But to Jason's point, it's kind of a fool's errand to set it up this way.
Well, no,
I was amongst Jason, me, get a guy with closer's experience because you knew this guy can't close every day, at least early. Get a guy who knows what he's doing. Kenley Jansen was sitting out there forever. It just didn't make much sense.
Closed in the division.
Yes.
Closed in all these ballparks that are quirky and weird and tough. Maybe it means nothing. In two innings, Dominguez has given up 3 home runs and 5 hits, and they ain't been cheapies. Mm. Now, it's early, this or that. But that's the second most important pitcher in their bullpen.
Yeah.
It's concerning. And we saw...
I'll say this.
Because everybody's been telling me all offseason the bullpen's going to be one of the best in baseball. That's all I keep hearing. Bullpen's going to be the strength of this team. I'm not so sure about Sino Perez well.
Maybe I'm the bozo, but I do like Dominguez if he's the setup guy.
Yeah,
I don't like
closer.
Him as the closer, he's not. He's getting hit so far. But, again, it is early. It's a small sample. But I could be the naive one.
I don't think Gregory Soto is going to make it through the season.
You love that guy.
I think by this year's trade deadline, Soto's DFA.
He's this year's Kimbrel.
Yeah. Well, the other issue that they're going to run into is this year you just don't have many guys that you can option in this bullpen, where it's Felix, Cano, and Keegan Aiken. Those are the only guys right now in the projected bullpen that have options.
We'll see how Danny Colon pitches, because they didn't want any part of that, even though he came cheaper than a lot of these other guys. So
they think he's broken. They thought he. It's obvious. They think he's broken.
Yes. But they also didn't know how to handle Tyler Wells. No. They didn't know how to handle Kyle Bradish. We'll see about Grayson Rodriguez. So maybe they're not the experts at understanding.
Oh, they could be
pitching,
dead wrong.
Pitching medicals and pitching projectables. I don't know. But I'll tell you this right now. No Kittredge. What that tells me is Dominguez is the co-closer,
sure.
So get ready for that. And who do you think's in the Dominguez role? I think it's Brian Baker.
Brian Baker, absolutely. Brian Baker.
Because they love his, he's got strikeout stuff.
And
he's,
same
he's
small
got the
sample.
Mix.
Same small sample.
And he's got no options.
He looks great this spring.
Yeah, and he looks great. Yeah. And they love him.
Yes.
So that's the bullpen everybody's gushing about.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably what it's going to look like opening day.
Yeah, Brian Baker is definitely he's going to find a way on this baseball team.
Oh, it's gonna be. He's not gonna be a mop-up.
No, because he can strike you out.
Yes,
and then he'll be moonwalking off the mound till he gives up a bomb. Then he'll be moonwalking his way to DFAville. But
you never want to go to DFAville.
No, he'll be heading there at some point. it's just a matter of time. Hey, coming up next, the good news continues. All the young dudes. We have an update on Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg. Westberg news isn't bad, but Gunner, it's ominous. We'll explain now.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Next year on the Fan. So let's get the good news out of the way first. Jordan Westberg spoke to the media 7 hours ago. That was 5 hours before Brandon High got to the ballpark, just if in case you're just tuning in. Jordan Westberg said he expects to be back in the lineup soon, perhaps as early as tomorrow. Said the mattress at his Airbnb was a little soft, and he was initially stubborn and dealt with it, but a back spasm came about. So he got a hard mattress topper, and he's fine.
Jason was done being angry.
I used to live that life.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I went to Mattress Warehouse.
Everything changed.
Tempur-Pedic Active Breeze, life changer. Westy, you want to get MVP votes this year? Get in touch with my people. We'll get you in touch with everybody you need at Mattress Warehouse. Tracy will hook you up.
The crazy part is, you can make the mattress soft or hard, right?
You can do whatever you want with the mattress. You can make it hot. You can make it cold. I would think the zero gravity setting for him right now, that really helped my back when I went from my beat up old soft mattress.
That's how you got so much
primo
happier.
Lamborghini. That is a Lamborghini.
Lamborghini. Yeah. You're a much happier man now because of that mattress.
Never angry.
Yeah, never. Guy didn't raise his voice anymore.
No.
That and the fact that I can't lose an NCAA bet to save my life.
Yeah,
right now,
you're on fire. So let's get.
I just jinxed it.
Yeah, let's get to the bad news. So we've been working under the assumption that there was nothing to see here from Gunnar Henderson. Brandon Hyde.
You guys were.
Well, the Orioles.
I started asking people about it.
Yeah.
It was starting to sound a little fishy to me.
Orioles, Brandon Hyde, after the game, said that he has a mild right intercostal strain. They said, Brandon Hyde said, very, very hopeful that Henderson will be ready for opening day. More from Brandon Hyde. I'm very, very hopeful. But we're not going to push a strain there, and we want to make sure that he gets it taken care of. It's one of those sensitive areas where we don't want anything to reoccur.
And this injury, it's a muscle that runs between the ribs.
I
Googleized it.
My mattress could probably help with that, too. I'm just saying. When you go double vary and on your own bring up opening day, that's bad. Like, to me, that's as just a person who's covered 9 million teams and 9 million press conferences and 9 million injury updates, double vary plus the hopeful for opening day means there's a pretty good shot he's not in the lineup opening day. Now, maybe he's on the roster and he just needs a few more days. But I would think if he's betting man, Gunnar Henderson opens the season on IL. That's not an injury you want to play around with. And we know the way they built this team as it currently stands. You know, yeah, you got your Vasquez's and people like that.
Levon Soto went 3-for-3 today.
You got Levon Soto. Those are not guys you would want in the lineup on a regular basis. They don't have in their system a shortstop who could do that job on a daily basis. While Mateo's hurt, Joey Ortiz could have done it.
No,
he's a Milwaukee Brewer for life.
Yeah, he's gone.
Corbin Burns was an Oriole for 30 starts.
DL Hall, by the way, the other guy putting that trade, went on the 60-day DL today.
Poor DL.
Yeah,
but like they don't like Jackson Holliday's not the answer at short. Jordan Westberg's not the answer at short. So that'll be interesting.
Ramon,
and we know how important Gunnar is, and the fact they have no other shortstops that they like. That's why Gunnar played like every inning at shortstop last year and never DH'd. So we'll see what this means, but none of that's good. When he starts bringing up, we're hopeful he's going to be there for opening day, that tells me there's some doctors, some of their medical people are far from convinced he's going to be there opening day.
Or with a strain, it's like you just don't know because it's that sensitive area with the obliques. That's the problem. These things, it's just each one of them is kind of different because of where it is. That's why we were hopeful that it was an oblique and there were like nothing to see here.
It's the kind of thing that easily flares back up.
Yes, correct.
And regardless, he's going to miss the entire spring training. He's pretty much going into the regular season, I don't want to say cold, but not many games.
I think he's
going to
start on the IL, and then I'm going to think he's going to need some games at Bowie and Norfolk before he's back.
Yeah. A reminder, he came to camp last year with an oblique. That was early in spring training, but got through it and was ready for opening day. This is a little later than last year.
And missing more time, we presume.
It's not good.
No. And as you point out, they're probably going to, because Jorge Mateo ain't ready, so it's going to be somebody that otherwise wasn't going to make the roster.
And again, this is them, not me. They told you Jackson Holliday, part of his 1-1 value, is shortstop.
He's a second baseman.
He ain't going to play any shortstop with Gunnar being out. I guarantee you he's not going to do it.
Second base.
So, again, that's the part of their billing and part of what they sold and part of what they... No, it's going to be Soto. It's going to be Vasquez. It's going to be somebody like that.
Or unless they acquire somebody.
If they acquire somebody, then I don't care what Brandon Hyde says.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
I just mean like a waiver claim kind of thing, not a trade.
Who are you going to, like,
somebody comes off somebody's roster.
Yeah, a waiver claim maybe. They trade for a major league shortstop. That's bad news.
They could have signed your boy Iggy Pop. He just signed today with the Padres.
We also, interestingly enough, didn't get an update on Grayson Rodriguez.
How
from
could
Brandon
that be?
Hyde.
We're scouring Twitter.
I haven't seen anything.
There's lots of people down there covering the team. The skipper did eventually get to the ballpark to answer questions.
He did.
And we have not seen anyone tweet anything about what the skipper had to say about Grayson.
Grayson spoke about 2 hours ago. That's about the same.
33 pitches.
Yeah.
The only quotes were about Kittredge and Gunner.
Yeah. And he did have a follow. I saw Matt Weirich just posted something about Jordan Westberg saying that he's going to talk to him in the morning and he's hopeful he can play tomorrow.
I'm flabbergasted that the skipper's opening remarks, whether anybody asked him or not, didn't come out and say, well, you guys all saw Grayson left the game early. Here's what I can tell you. Like, again, I'm not trying to tell them how to sell tickets or run their baseball team, but how the hell is that not, like, how is that not uttered?
That's the biggest story coming out of that game. The only story.
Now, no one posts audio, so we can't hear for ourselves.
Yeah.
But that's
the raw.
That's a hard one for me to get my head around.
Levon Soto going 3-for-3 is my big story.
Well, it might turn out to be the story of the day. If this Grayson thing is a nothing burger, which again, I'll believe that when I see it.
By the way, Orioles did win 5-2. Adley Rutschman, 2 hits in RBI. And he caught
Jackson Holliday had 3 hard hit balls.
Yes, he got robbed. Opposite field liner jumped, guy robbed him of extra bases to open the game. So he went 0-for-4, but he hit the ball hard.
Heston with 2 hits too.
Yeah, drove in a run. So there's some good news. Cubby Mayo 0-for-3.
Hey.
It's betting 0-50.
Like, the opening day starter left after 33 pitches. No one from the organization has said anything.
Do you think
about
he's guaranteed to be the opening day starter?
I mean, I think that's how they wanted to set it up. I mean, I think that was the plan. Yeah, I think that was the plan.
I wasn't fully convinced that it wasn't going to be Eflin.
You got Eflin for 1 more year, and this kid is supposed to be.
They've been having 1 year guys start opening day every year.
They also never call Grayson Rodriguez or ace, and they never let a Cy Young guy leave the building without trying to keep him. Don't believe the BS on that, by the way. They were never keeping him. He was never coming here.
Oh, I don't believe
they knew
staying.
It from the giddy up.
But I still thought that Eflin could have been the opening day.
I mean, he could, but I think this is their young ace. And no one has said anything about it. The team, no statement from the team. This is why Grayson Rodriguez left the game. Like that's a hell of a way to run your team. And the shortstop, they're very, very hopeful he'll be on the opening day roster.
Yes, two varies. And Grayson spoke for the team when he said, "I'm good. I'm sluggish."
I guess that's all we needed to hear.
If he says he's good,
and by here I mean read it on Twitter.
Read.
They wouldn't actually post.
Yeah,
wouldn't actually post the audio.
Well, no, they don't have a mic there. Like, I guess the reporters have those little machines they use. They ought to have probably done sound great on those because it's more for transcribing, but they have audio. You have one of those, don't you? Or at least you used to.
I mean,
transcribing recorders.
You just do it on your
You can do it on your phone now, yeah.
But no, I never used a transcribing.
Really? Card. Just no. Always wrote?
Yeah, you just played it and typed it out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Coming up next, we switch to Ravens.
If anybody says anything about Grayson, we'll let you know.
Yes.
Between now and 5:30. Because we're done early.
Yeah, we are.
We got the Terps.
Terps coming up in an hour.
No network tonight.
No. Oh, well, after Terps, you'll get your network fix. The Ravens at the Combine seemed confident that they were going to re-sign Ronnie Stanley. He still has not signed. Well, that's Brian Wacker. If he's still optimistic that Ronnie Stanley will continue being a Raven. He covers the Ravens for the Sun, and he joins us next. Incredibly, we are a week away from the new league year in the National Football League. And a week ago, we heard from Eric DeCosta and John Harbaugh, and they expressed optimism that Ronnie Stanley would be returning as a Raven. Well, let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline. Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun and joins us now. And Brian, thank you as always for your time. Let's start with Ronnie Stanley. Are you optimistic that Ronnie Stanley will be a Raven next year?
I'm going to say I'm still cautiously optimistic, even though the Chiefs, of course, made a big splash today with the Joe Tooney trade. And so that clears up a bunch of cap space and opens the door for them to potentially pursue Ronnie Stanley with a big contract and not only strengthen, you know, an offensive line that was clearly an issue for them this past season, but also weakens, you know, one of their major, you know, contenders. That said, look, I think I know the two sides have been locked in talks, you know, since last week. Eric DeCosta meeting with Ronnie Stanley's agent in Indianapolis at the Combine. And there's been, you know, there's been progress on those talks. What that ultimately means, though, I think will play out here in the coming days. I do think, guys, one thing to watch is, you know, if we get all the way to Monday at noon and the Ravens have not announced an extension with Ronnie Stanley, then I would be very concerned from that standpoint.
Well, Brian, the clock is ticking on the Ravens and their decision with Mark Andrews. Should he stay or should he go? Because he's got that $4 million roster bonus due within a week of the new league year beginning. Are you expecting him to stay in Baltimore or be shipped off elsewhere?
Yeah, I actually wrote about this today for the Baltimore Sun. So a shameless plug there and good timing. to answer the question, yes, I do think he will be on the Ravens in at the start of the 2025 season. There are basically a handful of options, right? They could release him, which would save the team a bunch of cap money, about $11 million. But that, to me, as I wrote for the Sun, would be short-sighted. I mean, he's a guy who has been incredibly productive over his first 7 years in the league, very popular in the locker room, obviously Lamar Jackson's main security blanket. So that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense just for the fact of saving cap space. They could certainly give him a, you know, do what they did with Ronnie Stanley last year, give him a pay cut. But that, I'm not sure that really jives either when you look at the season he had last year, led the team in receiving touchdowns. Not his best year, obviously, but I wouldn't call it a bad year either for Mark Andrews. So they could also trade him, which again seems unlikely. This is a guy who's been a cornerstone franchise guy. And what, you're going to trade him for, you know, potentially a third round pick? That would maybe be intriguing, but probably not worth the return that you're going to get there. You know, they could also just let the deal play out, and he plays this year on his current contract and then hits free agency and they go from there. They could extend him as well before the season, which I think is, even with the specter of Isaiah Likely, you know, looming behind him, I think, you know, that could be a possibility. I don't think that's been ruled out of the question as of yet. So, but the long-winded way of saying I do think he will be on the field for them at the start of next season.
If that's the case, and they are still looking for ways to, because they always are, we need a penny here and some salary cap space there. What would you think of them getting a real-ish pass rusher outside the organization and then taking a draft pick for Owe and saving $13 million there and $13 million in cap space?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a route they could go. Look, we know how the Ravens like to operate when it comes to pass rushers. There will certainly be plenty of veteran guys available, you know, in that second wave of free agency that they could get on the cheap. You know, dealing away, sure, you save a bunch of cap money, but, you know, you also give up a guy who had his best year last year, 10 sacks. Look, is he a guy who's going to be a superstar edge rusher for the next 5-10 years? You know, I don't know about that, but he took a big step forward last year. They like him. They also don't have a lot behind him. It's essentially him and Kyle Van Noy right now, who will turn 34 this coming season. So, or who did turn 34 recently, I believe. So, I don't see them moving on from Owe. That would be a bit of a surprise. I do see them probably drafting an edge rusher. Again, this is, as I've heard all week, as you guys have probably heard, you know, a draft class that's deep in defensive line talent. So they could certainly go that route, first round or second round or third round, and find some guy who could contribute, you know, probably pretty quickly, and then sign a veteran guy, as they typically do in the offseason.
Talking with Brian Wackertz, Inside Access here on the Fan. Brian, let's get to the Justin Tucker portion of the program. And as we said, the new league year is next week, and we'll see all teams cut guys for cap purposes. We expect Marcus Williams and Arthur Millett to get cut. Could Justin Tucker be cut before the start of the next league year?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly what everyone will be watching once the league year starts on March 12th. That would save them some cap money, which they could then, the dead hit that they would take, they could spread out over the next 2 years, where it's only, you know, essentially a couple of million dollars each year. But the sense that I got coming out of Indianapolis last week and talking with Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and folks around the league, I don't see that happening. I think they will let this play out in terms of the league's investigation and make their determination there. If the league comes down with a suspension, which is certainly possible or likely if they find the accusations, you know, to be thorough and true, then that will, you know, probably determine his fate going forward in Baltimore, or lack of a future going forward in Baltimore. But I, you know, look, this is not a slow, not a fast process. This takes several weeks, several months. This could drag on into the summer. I know they were looking at kickers at the combine. They met with Miami's Andy Borgalis at the Shrine Bowl. They looked at other kickers. That's not necessarily out of the norm. It's something they do, you know, pretty regularly. And again, this is a guy who's coming off his worst year, is 35 years old. So do they look at this as a potential to make the move sooner than later? I think, again, this is something that's going to take time to play out. And I'd be mildly surprised if there's a resolution as soon as next week.
Brian, this is the first year in a little while that we aren't talking about the Ravens needing a true number one, number two wide receiver. That being said, not many guys under contract. You have Bateman, you have Zay Flowers, and you have Tez Walker. How do you see them filling that number three wide receiver spot?
Yeah, I mean, certainly they are thin at the position. As you mentioned, a number of guys are free agents, really. Beyond the top two guys, the only guy in the active roster, I think, who it would be Tez Walker, who's inexperienced. So I think they will look at multiple ways. I think they will fill it in the draft. It's a pretty good class draft-wise. I actually had a call today with Jordan Reed of ESPN, a conference call, and he spoke about the wide receiver depth in this class. A lot of talent in that sort of second, third round, maybe stretching into the fourth round there. And I think they'll fill it on the veteran free agent market. There's a lot of big name, sort of well-known veteran free agents who will be available come, you know, that's first and second wave of free agency. Nelson Agholor is a guy they like a lot, but I, you know, does he come back? I'm not so sure. But certainly they could find another version of Nelson Agholor on that free agent market pretty easily. And there are other guys like Tylan Wallace, who I expect to, you know, test the open market, who they could bring back as again, a guy that, you know, once he sees what the market is, maybe there's something they could work out to bring him back. He's a guy they like in the building. They like what he brings, his versatility, special teams, blocking. Had his best year as a receiver last year, although that's been the biggest problem for him is getting onto the field. So again, if he's available at the right price, I could certainly see a Tylan Wallace return if it gets to that point.
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. Brian, always great. Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For your time. Get your rest because things are about to start heating up.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate it. Hey, we'll continue with the Ravens coming up next. And how can they create some cap room as they enter to this new league year?
Well, do they even need it?
Yeah, well, yeah,
not going to use it.
Well, hypothetically speaking, if they were to use some cap room, how could they create it? We'll tell you next here on the Fan. New league year is next week, and the Ravens, hypothetically, if they want to create some cap space, Jason, you've got a way for them to do it. And it's not going to hurt.
I got a plan for that.
Not going to hurt much at all.
Well, I mean, it's going to hurt. Well, no, it's not. The only thing it would hurt is Stevie B's bank account.
He's got it.
I don't know.
He's got it.
I don't know. I'm not privy to that. But, yeah, I mean, look, they've got $12 million in cap space because that's all they want to have right now. There's a lot of things they could do that are incredibly simple that don't even require the player's permission. In fact, it's a win for the player. They get more money up front now than over the course of a season. And you just transfer base salary to bonus, and in some cases you add a voidable year or two, another you don't, but these are incredibly simplistic moves. And yeah, you designate Marcus as a post June 1st cut. If you want to trade Mark Andrews, you save $10 million right there. A simple Nnamdi restructure, which I think should be in the cards, gets you another $5 million. If you don't want to bite the bullet and do a Lamar Jackson deal, do a real Lamar Jackson deal. But if you didn't want to, a simple restructuring with him to kick the can for another year to that real deal would save you $15 million in cap space. Marlon, we've talked about a new deal and on this, you know, him having a bounce back year, and we know how much they like him. But he's got term left on his contract. And if you just want to do a simple restructure with him, you could create another $10 million. So, I mean, at this point, we're now sitting there at $52 million. You want to take it to $63 million in cap space? Go play around with Roquan's contract and lower his base salary to the vet minimum and prorate the difference out into the future. Now, if he's not who you thought he was, that one, I think, would come with some potential peril. Mm-hmm. If you do want to move on from him and no longer be paying a middle linebacker $20 million a year next year as he creeps a little closer to 30. But you could have $50 million, $40 million in cap space tomorrow in the stroke of a pen, basically. Now, I don't think they want to have $40 million going into free agency, because when you do that, people want to know where you're spending it on.
Yes.
It's much easier to just say, we've got no budget, we've got no money, we've got no cap space. Therefore, when we sign a bunch of $1 and $2 million guys, be happy with that.
Well, I think the first domino to go, maybe even before these restructures, would be Mark Andrews, and what they do with him or what they don't do with him could determine how far they go with these restructures. And Jason, if they're going to move on from him, it's going to happen before he gets that roster bonus. You would think the $4 million. So something's going to happen within the next 2 weeks with Mark Andrews, because that's when it's due.
Or you could pay that and then maybe recoup a little more because you've already absorbed that hit, and now somebody's getting Mark Andrews for $7 million.
Yeah.
So if you're worried about Mark Andrews, he's a half season player now because the last 2 years he's been a half season guy. Well, if you get him at $7 million, even if he only plays half a season, you can live with that. I mean, that's $1 million.
Do you see them doing that though?
No.
I feel like they make the move before the roster bonus.
I agree with you, but there could now. I told you guys weeks ago. I talked to multiple personnel executives. They all told me they'll be hard-pressed to get a four. We've now seen Debo be a salary dump for a five. We've seen Joe Tooney be traded for a
pick next
four.
Year.
So, like, it might not matter, because even if you eat the $4 million, you still might only be getting a four for Mark Andrews.
because of that lack of compensation, and we just had Brian Wacker on, he thinks that Andrews is going to stay. Do you think that that could cause them to keep him?
I mean, there's no reason that they couldn't create a bunch of cap space, keep Mark Andrews, and go get a real pass rusher. There is no reason that they don't do it other than that's just not how they want to build their football team. But the idea that they can't do it because of cap is complete and utter poppycock.
Poppycock.
I'm not saying go out and get three top-of-the-line guys, but they could do it. I don't think they want to do it. I don't think the owner wants them to do it, and I don't think they have any intention of doing it because they've gone out of their way to message in the two opportunities they've had to send signals to their fans about what to expect for the upcoming season. They've gone out of their way to hide behind a completely malleable salary cap.
And it was three because didn't you say, what, EDC said every dollar counts?
Every dollar counts.
Penny.
Yeah.
I believe it was Penny.
No, no, EDC stands for every dollar counts.
Right.
To Peter Schrager.
Yeah, EDC. He was, they were talking about, it was Lamar was talking about what EDC stood for.
I could think of something else.
Yeah, well, you know. I just wonder if you choose to keep Andrews and you don't want to extend him, but you're going to extend Isaiah Likely, what that does, because these are human beings. They're not just assets, something that we constantly want to remind the Orioles. Like, how does that affect the locker room?
Well, my suspicion is, based on the way DaCosta has talked, without revealing any of the specifics of his conversation with Andrews, he made it clear he talked to Andrews right after the season ended.
Yeah.
And they obviously have had conversations since, and conversations, I'm sure, with his representatives at the combine. My read on it is, they could probably have a plan where they're okay squatting on him for another year, but you might have to be okay with this other kid getting $25 million to sign or whatever, you know, and we're going to have you here for one more year, and then we're going to take the comp pick for you. And so does he think there might be more out there for him somewhere else? And do they think, now is the time to move on, and we're better off selling on him coming off a season where in the second half he was good for almost a touchdown a game?
It's going to be interesting to see what the next few days
brings. I'm far from convinced he's on this roster.
Yeah. Next few days will be very interesting, as we've seen fireworks already around the National Football League. We didn't even mention DK Metcalf requesting a trade, Tyler Lockett being released. There's stuff going on all over the league, and expect some Ravens names to be popping in the next few days. But coming up next, remember, we're done early today because the Terps take on Michigan tonight at 6:30. Pregame coverage starts at 5:30. And we'll preview said game next. We'll hear from Gary Williams talking about Blue Bloods. And how about Kevin Willard and Juju Risa talking about this game? That's next here on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.